You're listening to the Let's Be Real podcast. Now, here's your host, Andy Hughes.
Our guest right now is an amazing leader with a magical resume. He once led thousands of cast members and was responsible for multiple theme parks, water parks, and entertainment complexes in Orlando, Florida. He's the former executive vice president of the Walt Disney World Resort. You may have heard of it. Since retiring from Walt Disney World and winning multiple leadership awards, he now spends his time spreading his valuable insight to the leaders of today and tomorrow through multiple outlets. We're very excited to create some podcast magic with Lee Cockrell. Lee, thanks so much for joining us. How are you, and how's everything going down there in Orlando, Florida?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. Everything's great. It's raining like crazy here, which we need, and
yeah.
I guess winter is coming. It might get down to 60 degrees.
Oh, man. Well, I'm here in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a little bit colder than 60 degrees, I think, in the winter. And we'll have some snow coming down, but I'm glad you probably could use some rain in Orlando, so that's good. But I kind of want to start there in Orlando, because you made quite a legacy in Orlando, and would you mind just telling the listeners how you got to be in that position at Disney? Because I know that there was a lot of hard work that went into it.
Yeah, it was a miracle. I tell everybody, I grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, and we were pretty poor. We didn't have much. We didn't even have indoor plumbing. And my brother and I said we didn't know that was a problem, but when you're kids, anything's okay. And my mother was married 5 times. I got adopted twice, but different husbands, and I got husband number 4 had money, so I got to go to college, but I forgot to go to class. So I kind of flunked out and went in the Army in 1964. When I got out of the Army, I met somebody there, and we ended up going to Washington, D.C., and I got a job as a banquet waiter at the Hilton Hotel up there on Connecticut Avenue, where John Hinckley shot President Reagan back in the 80s. And I just got a job as a waiter and started working my way up. I got into a management training program. I did a good job. They transferred me to Chicago. Then I got transferred to the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And then I got transferred to Los Angeles. And then I left Hilton. I was kind of fed up with my boss, and I was working 6 days a week. And I joined Marriott, stayed with Marriott 17 years. I was a general manager with them, and vice president of food and beverage. And then I got recruited by Disney in 1990 to come to France and open Disneyland Paris. And my wife always wanted to live in France, so she made me take the job. And we went off to France, stayed there 3 years. I opened Disneyland Paris. Then I got asked to come back to Orlando, which I'd never worked in Orlando before, and be in charge of all the hotels. I did that for 2 years, and then they put me in charge of all operations, which I did for about 10 years. And then I retired when I was 62 and started my own little speaking seminar business. I wrote 4 books on leadership management, time management, customer service. And now I get to do podcasts with people like you, and I get to meet all kinds of new people. And it's been great. I've been married to Priscilla for 51 years.
Wow.
And I've got a son who's 50, and he's in the speaking business. He was with Disney 27 years. He was the vice president of the Magic Kingdom eventually. And I got 3 grandkids who adore me more than their parents. So they're 24, 21, and 18. So life's been good to us so far.
That's awesome. Yeah, you definitely made quite a legacy, and it's awesome. Congratulations on the 51 years, and you're doing some amazing stuff with the podcasts and all the books. They're absolutely amazing. You mentioned the Disneyland Paris there in the early 1990s. That had to be a pretty cool experience for you to go over to France, and you mentioned that your wife wanted to live there. What was that experience like?
It was pretty cool until we opened. It was really hard. I was there 2 years before opening, and we didn't have much business when it first opened. We had a lot of problems. We were losing $1 million a day, so it was pretty stressful. And finally, I got transferred back to Orlando, just in time. I probably would have got fired if I stayed there. But it was hard. It was hard. We had to do everything in 5 languages. We had to staff the front desk of hotels in 5 languages because people were coming from everywhere. The business didn't materialize. We had to way overrun in our cost base. So it was pretty stressful, but I would say on balance, it was great. I got a French daughter-in-law out of it. My son fell in love there. So It was tough, but I'm glad I had the experience. It taught me a lot about obstacles and how hard it is and how you have to overcome different things. I never thought I could work the hours I did in Orleans in Paris. But you learn a lot with all those experiences, and my wife absolutely loved it. While I was killing myself, she went to Paris every day.
Well, no, it definitely sounds like you learned a lot, so that's definitely a win there. Now, you know, I think one of the things that you mentioned earlier too is that, you know, you were at a lot of different places, you had some different promotions. What were some of the things that you did to stand out to develop your career? Because we talk a lot about career development on this podcast, and I'm just interested to see, you know, what were some of the things that you did to stand out to keep getting those promotions?
Well, I think the key is, and for all your listeners and for anybody, the key is certainly I talk about three things. I talked to a group of college students last night. I said, of course, education is important. I didn't get a college degree, but I started paying attention when I got more mature and started reading, going to seminars, watching videos, paying attention. And so I think education certainly, and then experience and exposure. That's what I got. I got a lot of experience. You know, I worked in Washington, I worked in Chicago, New York City, at the Waldorf Astoria, probably the most famous hotel in the world, Los Angeles, I worked in Philadelphia, I worked in the Boston area, Paris, you know, and all those experiences made me more and more confident. I learned a lot technically about how to do the work. I became an expert in the food and beverage business, and I tell people, number one, become an expert in something. Then you'll always be able to find a promotion or a job, or somebody's going to want you when you're an expert. Try to figure out how you're going to learn more every day about what you do for a living. And then exposure. I was exposed to people from all over the world. I grew up in a very small town in Oklahoma, which was not very worldly. I didn't know anything, but I've been to 44 countries now, and I've learned from people all over the world are just great. So I think that helped mature me, being exposed to the world and traveling, and working in the hotel business. You work with people from every country in the world. A lot of them, it's a first job. A lot of them are immigrants and have just gotten here. They work hard. They're great. And so I learned that. And I would say my attitude is the main thing. I tell everybody, 80% of your success in life is going to be your attitude. When my boss said, I want you to do something, I said, raised my hand. When he said, I want you back at 6 a.m, I said, no problem. Mm-hmm. I just made it easy for my boss to get me to do what he wanted me to do. And I kept learning and I kept getting promoted because of that, I think. And I tell people today, two things that are important to be successful are empathy and discipline. Mm-hmm. I'm very organized, and having the discipline to do the right things, make the hard decisions. Those are the kind of things that really matter. And mm-hmm. so I would say if you don't have a good attitude, you better get one, especially if you don't have a college degree. But I would say really those things, keep learning and have a really positive attitude, and have discipline to follow through and do what you say you're going to do. That's why I wrote a book about time management, getting people more organized, get your act together. Those are kind of the simple things. Technically, you know, that's changing every day. You're never going to keep up with it because you're going to really have to be on it. Next mm-hmm. week, everything's going to be different with technology and with new ways to do things and branding. And so those are things you'll keep up with. But that first, making sure you have a real good understanding how important keeping up is, and keeping mm-hmm. ahead of the game, keeping ahead of your competitors, keeping ahead of with your knowledge. I mean, and I love it now. I used to not like to read. I hated reading. Now I read every day. And what I learned is I learn things. So
yep.
I have more knowledge to share.
Yeah, we definitely don't have an excuse to not learn anything because of all the technology available with, you know, all the video sites. And there's so many ways that you can learn, not only just reading, but there's just so many ways that you can learn. And we basically don't have an excuse anymore to not learn something because there's so many outlets.
Absolutely. I said, you know, if you don't know the definition of a word and 3 minutes later you still don't, whose fault is that? I mean, really. you don't have to carry a dictionary around with you anymore.
Right. Exactly. Now, you mentioned empathy, and that's a big part of this podcast, because the E in the real stands for empathy. And in order to empathize with someone, it's very important to get to know the person a little bit, you know, not just the person at work, but, you know, what's going on at home, you know, what's your family like. I think, was that a big part of your success at Disney? Because, you know, maybe if you got a new cast member, what were some of the things that you did to get to know them? Because I feel like that's such an important part of it. And I know you had thousands of cast members, and I'm sure that was difficult. But what were some of the things that you did to get to know some of these people to really show empathy?
Well, empathy is one of those things that I didn't have when I first started out. I kind of grew up in a dysfunctional home. I wasn't very emotional about things, and I didn't understand. I was just kind of a hard-ass manager, you know? And so I had to learn that, and I think I learned it through certainly my marriage, my children, and my grandchildren. But at Disney, we really understand how important it is to connect and bond with the employees right away, just like you do with a new baby. Make sure you stay close to them, you're clear with them, you follow up with them. They're confused, they're new on the job. Really understand the emotional issues related to a new job, especially a company like Disney, which is really pushing you hard to be great, be perfect, and be nice, and be professional, and be polite, and be to work on time. We really try to stay very close to the cast members when they first start, just so they don't get frustrated and walk away. And I think that's in any relationship, you have to pay attention to it. If somebody is entering the environment you're in that's new, you got to really make them feel welcome, take them to lunch. I mean, there's so many things. And I think most people know that, but we don't always do it with a new employee because we think we're too busy to connect with them. And I don't think you can ever be too busy to connect with your people, because it's the most important thing you do. Who you bring into your organization and making them successful, that's the name of the game. If you can get that right, everything else works out fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one of the interesting things that I heard you say on your podcast was it's not about the million-dollar roller coasters that you're building. It's more about the people that you're putting in there, because those are the people that can make those experiences, you know, lifetime full of memories for the guests.
Yeah, I mean, the guests know the roller coasters and the attractions and the shows and the princesses and all of that's going to be great. They know that. What they really love is how much better we treat our guests and than most businesses in the world. So they're comparing us. So when they come to Disney, they go, wow, what a difference it is here compared to my grocery store or Walmart or wherever you go, McDonald's or... And it's all about our people. The product is, everybody knows that's going to be great. But people are unpredictable. So we really work hard to make sure that the guest finds them predictable in a good way when they come to Disney World, that every cast member is going to step up and take care of you. I mean, that's the name of the game. I tell people all the time, there is nothing more important than who you hire and bring into your organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Couldn't agree more. And I remember hearing as well that some of the Disney housekeepers are sometimes invited to customers, you know, the guests' weddings and things like that. I mean, that says a lot about the experience that the cast members, whoever it is delivering at Disney. So definitely seems like everything is working out pretty well there, because it seems like they're making lifelong friendships there as well.
They are. And I was amazed at that people start taking care of a family when their little daughter was 5 years old, and then they get invited to the wedding. I mean, or somebody dies in their family and they get invited to the funeral, the housekeeper, the waiter. That's amazing to me. I'd never heard such a thing in my life. And that's the connection with Disney is strong, and it's emotional, and it's generation after generation, and they're coming back. Grandparents, parents, the kids, yep. Grandkids. Yeah, it's a big deal.
It certainly is. And, you know, one of the other concepts that I wanted to bring up here that I thought was fascinating is you said that you need to examine the hard stuff in your life. And you said life gets easier when you do the hard stuff. Life gets harder when you do the easy stuff. And that really spoke to me, because, you know, in a software company, I found that I'm a lot more comfortable after dealing with some of the harder issues with the software, because I learned a lot and I feel more relaxed going forward. And, you know, I took it as like a learning moment. And I think that concept is so inspiring to me. It really spoke to me. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think it's all humans kind of try to not to deal with hard things. You know, we try to fill our day with maybe something easier. We procrastinate on hard things because they're hard, and they're either emotionally hard or physically hard. And I've learned myself that when I force myself to deal with the hard things, I immediately feel better emotionally. I feel more secure. I feel more responsible because I've done the right thing. And some of those are hard conversations with people not doing their job. Sometimes it's a hard decision. But you don't feel great the night before you have to do it, but the next day you know that you did the right thing. And I always tell people, it's like being a mother. Mothers always do the right thing. They don't care if you're happy. So, that's the way you got to think about it. And if you take the easy route, life's just going to get harder. It'll come back and bite you later, and then you'll have regrets, which you don't want to have.
No, you definitely don't want that, for sure. Now, you mentioned, you know, we're kind of talking about difficult conversations, things like that. Another thing that I like what you said is you said the customer's not always right, but they are still the customer. Did you have times where maybe you had a customer who wasn't right in a situation, but they were loyal? And how did you kind of react to that to keep that customer?
Well, I think loyalty is one thing. You know, we are looking more for commitment. You know, loyalty is people show up and they stay loyal until they find a better deal. Mm-hmm. Or they go somewhere else. And commitment is, we want people who are committed for the long haul. We want people who are committed to, because we treat them so well, the product is so good, we take care of their problems, that they, and even if they do go somewhere else, they compare it to us. And they look back and say, wow, let's go back to Disney. Because that's what people do in the world, they compare. And we try to make sure that that comparison is just so strong that we're so much better that even if you go to Hawaii or LA or Las Vegas, you can't wait to get back to Disney. And that's pretty much worked for us. If we first hire the right people, we train them right, and we treat them right so that they can deliver that that empathy, that emotional experience, that serving you, taking care of you. And when people do that, you know, people today are really stressed out. There's a lot of anxiety in the world, and people are looking for a stress-free vacation where they're treated right and they don't have a lot of hassles. And we're quite aware of all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you talked about training there a little bit too. How important is it to have good training? Because I feel like if you don't have excellent training, the person could get stressed out, like you were just saying, they could get uncomfortable. How important is it to have excellent training? Because without excellent training, I feel like you may not have the results you're looking for.
Yeah, you need to ask your mother, how important was your training? You know, I mean, it's everything. It is everything. And we talk about the three most important things at Disney is hire them right, train them right, and treat them right. And when you do that, you build self-confidence in the employee, the cast member, you build their self-esteem, you build their belief in themselves, they deliver better service, the customers are happy, and you make more money because people come back. I mean, training, you know, nice only goes so far.
Yeah.
You can be nice, but if you don't know what you're doing, that gets annoying eventually. So we can certainly have nice people, but we also got to make them competent and make sure they're competent. And that's done through training, education, development. Difficult conversations sometimes, retraining. Role modeling is one of the major ways we train, is all our managers behaving and paying attention and being out there to help the cast members. And it's kind of like just at home. It never ends. Your mother will be training you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's an interesting connection. I never really thought about it that way, but you're right. You know, this is all kind of being like a mother with the empathy and the discipline. So that's a really interesting connection that you make there.
Remember, your mother worries about you more than you worry about her.
Mm-hmm. Very true. You know, the A in Real is alignment, and I think that kind of goes along with the training. How important is alignment, especially in a company like Disney that's huge like that? I would imagine that if there was some type of, you know, crisis at the park or something, you know, they really have to know what to do or else it's going to be a disaster.
Well, we've got all bases covered, I can tell you. We don't play around because we got 200,000 people on the property most days. We do simulations of crisis two or three times a year, practice sessions for 6, 7, 8 hours. We have a company that puts us through them. They call you when you least expect it. It could be 3 in the morning. We got to open the command center. We got to start executing. We got 22 command centers on property for each business. We got all bases covered. On 9/11, we executed that day perfectly because we had practiced so many times, and it's kind of like our fire drill at home.
Yep.
Better to have the fire drill before the fire. And
yes,
it's not when something's going to, it's going to happen to you somewhere in your life, personal or business. Mm-hmm. We just practice for it. So everybody knows what to do. And then when you practice enough, people just do it. And goes, everything turns out well. So it's a big deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that all goes back to leadership, because, you know, without that leadership at the top to spend the time practicing, that, you know, without that, who knows what could have happened, especially on September 11th. I mean, I had to imagine that was a pretty, obviously a stressful day for the country, but it sounds like, you know, everything was handled perfectly, which is amazing. And that's the product of having great training and practicing.
Yeah, and I don't think enough organizations do it. I think they just think it's never going to happen and something can happen. It could be a small thing in your company. It could be employee-based. It could be a customer doing something crazy. And we see it with the school systems today, public schools, all these shootings and stuff. Everybody needs to be more alert and pay attention and be ready. And I always said, buy a fire extinguisher today, not when the kitchen at your house catches on fire.
Right. It makes sense. Yep. And, you know, in a software company like SAP, you know, we have to be product experts and, you know, kind of know everything. Now, in your position at Disney, obviously you were responsible for a lot of different things, you know, different parks, different people. How did you stay on top of everything at Disney? What was kind of a typical week on the job? Did you spend some time just walking through the parks and trying to just talk to some different people?
Well, the number one way I stayed on top of things is to surround myself by people who were experts in whatever their job was: engineering, food and beverage, merchandise, transportation, security, to hire experts. And then I did. I scheduled time every week to walk the parks for 4 or 5 hours and talk to cast members, check things, check the locker rooms, check the break rooms, talk to guests. I was pretty out there all the time. And so I had time to do that because I had already hired experts to take care of all the technical facilities and work. And that's what people don't do. You know, once you have experts working for you, you got to figure out how to spend your time. and don't go around bothering the people you hired and you're paying a lot of money to do what they're supposed to be doing. Let them do it. And they can come to you if they need something. But then you figure out where to spend your time. And where you spend your time is where you get the action. If you want to know the truth, you got to be out in your business all the time talking to I tell people now, your customers and your employees know every single thing you need to know. And if you get out there enough, they'll tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly will. And that's super interesting. And, you know, it's awesome that you made the time to do that. And I find that kind of ties in with responsiveness as well. When there were, you know, because it seems like you were definitely involved, you know, talking to the cast members, which is awesome. And even now, I mean, with your website and everything, you're also very responsive. So you definitely seem to take a lot of time to connect with people. And I think that's amazing.
Well, that's the name of the game. You know, I mean, I grew up in the business. I started as a waiter. I've been a cook. I've done all those jobs. So I understand that when I was there, nobody ever asked my opinion. And I had a lot of things they needed to know and should know. But I didn't really trust leadership, and it takes time to build a trusting relationship where people feel comfortable enough to tell you what's going on so they help you run the business. And so relationships are a big deal. And unless you get to know people and you're out and about and they see you often, you're not going to have that relationship, especially if you're a leader. People are going to think, well, I'll get in trouble. I better not say anything, all that kind of stuff that goes on. And comfortable relationships are pretty much the name of the game for getting trust. And that's what I tried to do every week.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think, too, it's good to build those relationships because you never know where a great idea could come from. I think, you know, everybody has different backgrounds and different perspectives on things. Who knows, you know, you may have a cast member that has an amazing idea that could really make a difference at Disney. I mean, it seemed like, too, that you really allowed the cast members to kind of, you know, empower themselves and show the trust that, you know, hey, you can do this, and it might make lifetime memories for a family. So I think that that's awesome. It seems like you really kind of pushed that culture in Disney, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's so successful.
Well, we did. The cast members that you come to face-to-face with have the authority to take care of your problem, either financially or hopefully with good common sense and training. So we do that. They make better decisions sometimes than we do, and they do it right on the spot. And when you take care of something right away, it doesn't get out of control, and it costs you less, actually. So,
right.
Yeah, and if you don't give your people authority, you're kind of sending the message you don't trust them. And therefore, you've either hired the wrong person, or you've got a control problem yourself, and you need to learn to let go, because people want to do a good job. And if you trust them, they'll do a good job for you. Yeah,
they definitely will. And another thing that you talk a lot about is clarity. How important is it to have that clarity and really communicate with people about expectations and even ways to improve? You know, maybe if they're not doing something right, it's really important to tell them, hey, you know, this is how you can improve. And, you know, I think that can go a long way just by getting that feedback.
Well, yeah, I mean, clarity is probably the number one most important thing in communication when you think about it. End of the day, you can communicate with people, but if you're not totally clear that you understand and they understand and you're on the same page, you're going to have problems. And so I say, be clear. Again, I go back to your mother. Your mother was probably pretty clear with you when you were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
There was no, did she ever say, hey, do you understand what I just told you? There are no misunderstandings. Mothers, because they love you and they care. And if you care about your people, you're going to be very clear with them and not try to spin everything and make everything look perfect. Clarity is the name of the game. If you got teenagers one day, you'll find out how important clarity is. Just be clear with people. Tell them the truth. Don't be bashful. You're helping them a lot when you are clear. There's no misunderstandings, and everybody's doing the same thing that like they're supposed to do. And the guest wins. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely. No, that's a great advice there. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about so many different things, but kind of to summarize, in your opinion, what are some of the top qualities that you see that makes a good leader?
Oh, well, I think, you know, a lot of ways to think about leadership, but I go back to having empathy. I think that's strong.
Yeah.
Being decisive, having good discipline to do what you say you're going to do, follow up, get things done on time, be reliable, credible, keep your promises. I think that's certainly being knowledgeable. I mean, I think a good leader today is going to try to always be reading and keep up and go to seminars and learn how to do things better. I think telling the truth, being able to have candid conversations with people is important, so people will trust you. You know, I want people to, when I leave them, to feel like they have my support. And then I want to help them do a good job. I want people to know that I'm here to help them with their training. I'm there to help them get better, not me. And when they get better, I get better and my company gets better. And it's just having that ability to be a good person and be frank and clear, and also to appreciate people for who they are and try to meet them where they come from, whether it's their background, their religion, be nice to people in all ways, their sexual orientation, their whatever, whether they speak English, their level of education, meet people where they are and show high respect to them, and be clear with them about your expectations. And most people will step up if you'll just be there with them instead of trying to send the message down from the mountain, and be out there and be about and get smarter every day, and your business will get better. And your people will get better, and the turnover will go down, and people will stay longer, and they will learn, and they'll have better careers because you help train and develop them. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's a great message. And from what I understand, is it your son that is working with Disney now, correct?
Daniel worked, my son worked for Disney for 27 years. He worked 5 years in France.
Yeah.
And Disneyland Paris, and he was here. He was the vice president of Epcot, the vice president of the studio, vice president of Magic Kingdom. He's run a lot of hotels. He's done a lot. He left Disney about a year ago and started a business much like mine. So he's traveling all over the world now. Last week he was in Thailand and Japan, and he's on his way to Chicago today and then to Brazil. And there's a high interest in leadership management and customer service training around the world, and he's having fun with it. All his kids are now in college, so he and his wife can go have fun.
That's awesome. It's so cool that, you know, your family has been able to have, you know, success and kind of build a legacy there in Disney. And, it's an amazing thing to see. So, now you mentioned your son's doing a kind of similar thing to what you're doing. Where can listeners find a little bit more information about you and the amazing work that you're doing? I mean, I know you have books, you have podcasts, you're doing so many things. Where can people find out more information about that?
Yeah, best bet is just go to Lee Cockerell, CockerellCockerell.com. Everything's on there. I put everything on my website, my books, my podcast. There's a morning magic planner. It's free. You can download it if you want it. We have videos on there of me speaking if they want to see my presentation skills. Everything's on the website, LeeCockerell.com. And for my son, it's Dan, D-A-N, Cockerell.com. And he's got the great web. His website's better than mine. I'm getting jealous now.
I'll have to check out his as well. Now that
and he has a book coming out in I think February. It's called nice. How's the Weather in Your Kingdom?
Oh, I love that. That's
talking
a good
about
title.
You know, is it a good place to be working? How's the weather in your kingdom?
Awesome. Yeah. Well, definitely, listeners, definitely check all that out, and we'll put a link in the description of this episode so you guys can check that out. Now, before we wrap up, I just want to do a quick lightning round here. Now, we named a lot of the things that you've accomplished. Obviously, you've done quite a lot in your career. If you had to pick one, what would be your proudest accomplishment in your life so far?
Well, I think literally the leadership development I did at Disney so that we executed so well on 9/11, which was a terrible day, but it was also a quite proud day that everybody stepped up, did their job. My favorite job in my whole career was being general manager of a Marriott hotel, where I was totally in charge and I could make life better for the guests every day with my decisions and with the employees. And that was fun. I had very little authority overlooking my decisions. I had a little hotel, so my boss never came. So that was fun. But Disney, it was learning how impactful leadership is, not to underestimate how you influence people with your leadership, and whether it's at home or at work. So that's what I'm proud of, and that's what people talk about.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a really cool story, how prepared you guys were for such a tragic event. And now, kind of on the flip side of that, obviously, you know, you've worked at a number of different places. What was maybe one of the biggest challenges that you faced in your career?
I had a job once, which I took after I left Hilton, went to a little hotel in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. My wife told me not to take it. I told her, I know what I'm doing. And I got fired after 90 days. So the place went bankrupt. And that was a good lesson. You never live till you've been fired. And now I had a Volkswagen, a two-year-old, no money, and no job. And that was something. Yeah. So, and the sheriff confiscated our furniture because we broke the lease. So I had to get $2,000 rounded up to get it back. And then I got a job with Marriott. So it was a bad situation, but it got me to Marriott. So I had a bad day, and then 2 months later, I had a job. So that was 2 months of stress.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That goes back to the whole attitude thing. You know, if you didn't have a good attitude about it, and, you know, didn't get back up, then, you know, so I think that's a great example right there. You know, your good attitude, it led you to Marriott, and then you eventually got with Disney. So I think things worked out in the end.
Always remember, your best days are probably ahead of you when you have some difficulties in life.
Yep, absolutely. No, that's a great message. Now, obviously, you've done so much. Looking back at your career, is there anything that you wish you could go back and change?
Well, you know, people always say that, but it's hard to go back because it all worked out fine.
Right.
Sure. Do I wish I had a college degree? Absolutely. I still have nightmares about it, not being able to find my classroom. It's stuck in my brain, and it reminds me all the time. But I was immature at the time. I didn't do it, but it got me in the Army. It got me to Hilton. Who knows? Yeah, if you change one thing in your past, all the rest of the things wouldn't happen. So I'll just stick with it. Worked out okay.
I think it certainly did. And it's great that you were able to also see, you know, kind of see your son have that success as well. So that's amazing. And Lee, and this was so much fun. I feel like we could talk about this stuff for days. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to talk to us. So thanks so much again for joining us here on the Let's Be Real podcast and helping us create this magical episode.
You're welcome. Great to be with you. Thanks a lot.